شريك له
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. And to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. And just a brief note with regard to the timing, that it's been requested that we don't start before 7:30, so the start time will be 7:30, inshaAllah, till further notice. Then with regard to what we had last week, then we had a number of points. Points number 135 to 139. So to briefly mention some of what we had in abridged form, then the first point that we had, point number 135, was that if you see a man attacking or rejecting the narrations, the athar, or wanting and desiring something different to the narrations, then doubt his Islam. Have doubt about his Islam. But do not doubt about the fact that he is an innovator. At the very least, he is an innovator. And we had point of 136, that the oppression of a ruler does not prevent us performing the acts of obedience along with him, such as the congregational prayers, the Jumu'ah prayers, and fighting jihad along with them. On these two points, Shaykh al-Fawzan indicated the explanation had already proceeded, so we didn't have any explanation from Shaykh al-Fawzan on those two points, sufficing with what came before in that regard. And then we had point of 137, that if you see a man making du'a, making supplication against the Muslim ruler, then you should know that this person is a person of desires, and that this activity, this action, is a trait of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And that what is obligatory upon the Muslim is the opposite of this, that he makes supplication for the ruler, in his favour, for the ruler to be corrected and to be upon good, to make supplication for that. And that is the methodology of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf. And the author, rahimahullah, he quoted in that regard the saying of the famous Imam Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, that if I had a supplication which was certainly going to be answered, I would make it in favour of the ruler. And then when the people asked him to explain that, he said, because if I made the supplication for myself, it wouldn't go beyond me. I mean, it would be to my benefit only. But if I make supplication for the benefit of the ruler, then the benefit of that will come upon the servants and the whole of the land. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that making supplication against the Muslim ruler is actually a supplication, actually in effect, a supplication against the Muslims. For if the ruler falls from his position, or is removed from his position, then it leads to the shedding of blood, it leads to the breaking of security, it leads to corruption spreading, it leads to the prescribed punishments being left aside. So making supplication against the ruler ends up being a supplication against the Muslims, not for the benefit of the Muslims, but rather against them. Then we had point of 138, that we should not mention anything but good about the mothers of the believers, the wives of Allah's Messenger, radiallahu anhum. And that Allah the Most High, He is the one who named them mothers of the believers, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, as occurs in Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah, Ayah 6. And Shaykh Fawzan explained that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are mothers with regard to the believers, with regard to status and respect, the status that they have and the respect that we are to show to them. And also they are mothers to the believers with regard to the fact that it is forbidden for any man to marry them after the passing away of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is obligatory is that we show respect towards the mothers of the believers, the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Contrary to the way of the Rafida Shia, those who disrespect wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're saying, the saying of the filthy Rafida Shia, they're saying is an accusation against Allah, and it is an accusation against His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an accusation against Allah that Allah the Most High chose to be mothers of believers those who were not befitting for that upon their saying. And likewise that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took as his wives those who were not befitting for that and not befitting as mothers of the believers. And that is what this evil and filthy saying of the Rafida necessitates. But as for the people of Sunnah, then what is upon us is to have respect for all the mothers of the believers, radiallahu anhu. And the final point that we had last time was point number 139, that if you see a man being constant upon attending the obligatory prayers in congregation, then know that he is a person of the Sunnah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that this is a sign of Iman. It's a sign of a person being upon the Sunnah. It's a sign of Iman, constant attendance at the obligatory prayers in congregation. And as for those who stay away from the congregation, they won't pray along with the Jama'ah of the Muslims, they keep away from it, then if it is a case that they hold that the ruler is not correct, prayer behind the ruler will not be correct, then this is the saying of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And the person who holds the like of that, that's why he stays away, then he is a deviant upon evil, one splitting away from the Jama'ah of the Muslims. And if it's a different case, if he stays away, not because it's the ruler, he just stays away from the congregation of the Muslims, he won't pray along with them, without a valid excuse, then that is the action of a hypocrite. Those people who only attend the congregation just to be seen of the people. They especially attend in the daytime when they will be seen, but as for at the night time, then they stay away because the people won't see them at night if they're missing. As was indicated by the ahadith quoted by Shaykh Fawzan. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he follows this with what comes here in the second volume on page 140, he's saying, and the lawful is that which you would witness and swear to be lawful, and likewise the forbidden, the haram. And likewise the forbidden, the haram. And that which causes uneasiness in your heart is something doubtful. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَالْحَلَالُ مَا شَهِدْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَحَلَفْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ حَلَالٌ. And the lawful, the halal, is that which you would witness to and swear to being lawful. He said, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the lawful is clear and the forbidden is clear. The lawful is clear and the forbidden is clear. And between that, there are affairs which are unclear. In the footnote they mention, checking of this narration has proceeded. And we had before that this is a hadith. Obviously, the hadith occurs in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. It's a hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari. It's hadith number 52. And Imam Muslim in his Sahih, it's hadith 1599. from a hadith by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma. So Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining, so there is that which is halal, that which is lawful, about which there is no doubt. And there is that which is haram, forbidden, about which there is no doubt. And there is a third category, which is unclear, about which it is not known, is it halal, something halal, or something haram, something permissible, something lawful, or something forbidden. He said, and this will not be known except to the ulama, to the scholars. And most of the people will not know of it, will not know it. I mean, those things in between, whether they are lawful or not lawful, which they category they, those things belong to, most people won't know it. But the ulama, they will know it. He said, so concerning this category, this third category of things, so concerning this, then you should stop with regard to it until you become aware which category it is from. In something that falls under this third category, any particular matter that falls into this third category, you stop and withhold until it becomes clear to you, is it something lawful or is it something forbidden? He said, until it becomes you become aware which category it is actually from. So the lawful, the halal, you can take it. And the haram, the forbidden, you must avoid it. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, الْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَكَرِحْتَ أَنْ يَأْتَرِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sin is that which causes uneasiness in the heart and which you would dislike the people to become aware of. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Muslim, as hadith number 2553, from a hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, radiallahu anhu, that sin is that which causes uneasiness in the heart, and which you would dislike the people to become aware of. Shaykh Fawzan said, so this, you will find yourself not being at ease with it, and not being relaxed with it. So, and this is a proof that it contains something which is doubtful. So it is upon you to leave it. وَالْحَلَالُ مَا شَهِدْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَحَلَفْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ حَلَالٌ. And the lawful is that which you would witness about, and which you would swear an oath about, that it is lawful. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, you are at ease with it, and you are not overtaken by doubt with regard to it, to such an extent that you would swear an oath that it is permissible, because it is clear. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, al-halalu bayyin, the lawful is clear. And he said, he's saying, وَكَذَلِكَ الْحَرَامِ, and likewise the forbidden. Shaykh Fawzan said, the haram, the unlawful, is also clear from those things which have been stated in text as being forbidden, such as mater, carrion, meaning the meat of unslaughtered animals, mater, and such as khamr, intoxicants, and the flesh of swine, the flesh of the meat of pigs. This is haram, forbidden, clearly forbidden, because Allah has made it forbidden. That's where Shaykh Fawzan, hafizullah, ends explanation on this point. As a small side point, then Shaykh Saleh As-Suhaimi, hafizullah, he said in his lessons, having earlier quoted the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, radiallahu anhu, that birr, righteousness, is good manners, and sin is that which causes uneasiness. And then he mentioned an addition at the end of the hadith, وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ, that sin is that which causes uneasiness to yourself. And he quoted the addition, وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ, even if the people give you a verdict, even if the people give you a verdict contrary to that, but you feel uneasy, still the people give you a verdict contrary. And this addition, even if the people give you a verdict contrary to that, then Shaykh Albani declared this addition, he declared Hassan in his checking of Sahih, his checking about Tarhib or Tarhib, as being a hadith of Wabitha ibn Ma'bad, radiallahu anhu, quoted by Imam Ahmad. This addition, even if the people give you a verdict. Then Shaykh Sahimi said, so even if a mufti gives you a verdict that this thing is something halal, something lawful, but you know that there is something doubtful, there's a shubha there, something that's a doubt, then what is upon you is to keep away from it. Don't just say, uqallidu aliman wa amshi saliman. Quote this common saying, people quote to justify themselves. Don't say, I will blindly follow a scholar, and then I'll proceed safe and sound. The Shaykh said, no, a scholar will not be able to come between you and the hellfire. If you do something that causes you to fall into that which Allah has decreed, rather what is required is that you, O brother Muslim, you take precaution for your religion, and you keep away from the shubuhat, the things that cause doubt, and you keep away from the things that are forbidden. So leave that which causes you to doubt in favour of that which does not cause you to doubt. As for the next point brought by Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, point number 141, and he said, rahimahullah, وَالْمَسْتُورُ مَنْ بَانَ سِتْرُهُ وَالْمَحْتُوكُ مَنْ بَانَ حِتْكُهُ, and the blameless person is the one whose blamelessness is apparent, and the dishonorable one is the one whose dishonor has become apparent. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, he's saying, وَالْمَسْتُورُ مَنْ بَانَ سِتْرُهُ وَالْمَحْتُوكُ مَنْ بَانَ حِتْكُهُ, and the blameless person is the one whose blamelessness is apparent, and the dishonorable one is the one whose dishonor has become apparent. He said the asl, the basic and underlying principle with regard to the Muslim, is al-adala wal-khayr, is uprightness and good. So therefore do not entertain bad suspicions about him. And therefore he, the Majestic and Most High, said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th Surah, Ayah 12, with the explanation, O you who believe, keep away from much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicion is sin. Then the Shaykh said, and he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, beware of suspicion, for indeed suspicion is the most untrue speech. The hadith they mentioned as preceded, and we had before, has been reported by Imam Bukhari, hadith 5143, and Imam Muslim, as hadith 2563, from hadith Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, so do not have suspicions about a Muslim except good. Do not think about a Muslim except what is good. As long as something contrary to that does not become apparent to you. And if you come across a mistake of his, then it is upon you to conceal it, to cover it. And he quotes the hadith, Man satara musliman, satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. Whoever covers up the fault of a Muslim, then Allah covers up his faults in this world and in the hereafter. In the footnote they mention, this is reported, or checking of it has proceeded, and we had it that it's reported by Imam Bukhari, hadith 2442, and Muslim, hadith number 2580, again from hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan makes an important point. He said, however, along with nasiha, you cover up his fault, however, along with nasiha, along with giving him sincere advice. You cover up his fault and you do not expose him. So he said, along with nasiha, you give him sincere advice, cover it up, give him sincere advice, cover it up, and you don't expose him. And he said, he the Most High said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayah 19, with the explanation. Indeed, those who love that the sin of fornication should be propagated amongst the believers, for them there will be a painful punishment in this life and in the hereafter. And Allah knows, and you do not know. Then Imam Al-Barrahari, rahimahullah, he follows this with a further point, point of 142, that we will take as the last point today, inshaAllah. But he said, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ نَاصِبِي فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ رَافِضِي وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ مُشَبِّهٌ أَوْ فُلَانٌ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالتَّشْبِيهِ فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ جَهْمِي وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ تَكَلَّمْ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَاشْرَحْ لِي التَّوْحِيدِ فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ خَارِجِيٌّ مُعْتَزِلِي أَوْ يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ مُجْبِرٌ فُلَانٌ مُجْبِرٌ It has here مجبر والله أعلم أو يقول فلان مجبر أو يتكلم بالإجبار أو يتكلم بالعدل فأعلم أنه قدري لأنه أو لأن هذه الأسماء محدثة أحدثها أهل البدع لأن هذه الأسماء محدثة أحدثها أهل البدع He said, and if you hear a man saying, so-and-so is a nasibi, then know that he, the one who said it, know that he is a rafidi. And if you hear a man saying, so-and-so is a mushabbih, or so-and-so speaks with tashbih, then know that he, the one who says it, is a jahmi. And if you hear a man saying, speak with tawheed, and explain tawheed to me, then know that he is a khariji. A Mu'tazili. Or if he says so and so is a Mujbir, or he speaks with Ijbar, or that he speaks about justice, Al Adl, then know that he is a Qadari, one of the Qadariyya. Because these names are novelties newly invented by the people of innovations. Shaykh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said in explanation, He's saying, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ نَاصِبِي And if you hear a man saying, so-and-so is a nasibi. Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining who is this sect, he said, the nawasib, that's the plural, and nawasib, they are the ones who have hatred for the Ahlul Bayt. They are the ones who have hatred for the family, meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rafida, Shia, they accuse the people of the Sunnah of hating the Ahlul Bayt, hating the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever hates the Ahlul Bayt, then they are Nawasib, called Nawasib. which are those who have erected, meaning erected and put forth hatred towards the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, فَأْلَمْ أَنَّهُ رَافِضِي. One who makes this claim upon someone, فَأْلَمْ أَنَّهُ رَافِضِي. Then know that he, the one who says it, he is a Rafidi. He's a Rafidi Shi'i. The Shaykh said, because this is the position of the Rawafid, to the extent that they declared the Sahaba, the companions, to be Nawasib, enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. Because they, upon their claim, they had hatred for the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they wrongfully seized the Khilafah from them. Shaykh said, this is what they say. قَبَّحَهُمُ اللَّهُ Ameen. This is what they, the Rafidah, say. May Allah disfigure them. Ameen. So Shaykh said, so the person who says that the companions were Nawasib, ones who had hatred for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that the Ahlul Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, are Nawasib, this is a proof that he is from the Rafidah. If someone makes this charge against those who are free of it, makes this charge against the companions, makes this charge against the people of the Sunnah, then know the one making that charge, he himself is the problem. He is from the Rafidah. The Shaykh said, and the Ahlul Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, they do not have hatred for the Ahlul Bayt. Rather, they love them, and they have respect for them, and they preserve and apply the advice given by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning them. However, they do not have ghulu. People of the Sunnah do not have ghulu with regard to them, with regard to the Ahlul Bayt. They do not have ghulu, excessiveness, with regard to them, with the excessiveness of the Rafidah. And they do not take them as lords besides Allah, and believe that they have isma, infallibility, just as is believed by the Shia, that their imams have infallibility. And they call them al-a'immat al-ma'sumeen. The Rafidah Shia, they call their imams the infallible imams. So the people of the Sunnah, they do not believe that they have, I mean the Ahlul Bayt, they have infallibility. And they do not have ghulu, they do not go beyond the limits with regard to them. Rather, they give them their due status. They love them because of their being close relatives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they love them because of their iman, their true faith. So they love them for two matters. The people of the Sunnah, they love the Ahlul Bayt, they love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for two reasons. For iman and for qaraba. They love them because they have iman, true faith, and they love them because of their being close relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as for if being a close relative is found, but iman is not found, then there is no love for them. If there are some people who are from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they are not upon iman, they are not believers, then there is no love for them. So Abu Lahab was the paternal uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he will be in the fire, because merely being a close relative will not suffice unless it is along with iman, true faith. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ فُلَانٌ مُشَبِّهٌ أَوْ فُلَانٌ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالتَّشْبِيهِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ جَهْمِي. And if you hear a man saying, so-and-so is a mushabbih, so-and-so is one who likens his Lord to the creation, or so-and-so speaks with tashbih, speaks with words of likening the creator to the creation, then know that he, the one who says it, know that he is a Jahmi, one of the Jahmiyya. Shaykh Fawzan said, because the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'aris, the Asha'ira, and the Maturidis, they hold that affirming the attributes is tashbih. All of them hold, the Jahmiya, the Mu'tazila, the Asha'ira, and the Maturidis, they hold that affirming Allah's attributes means tashbih, means likening the Creator to the creation. So therefore, they call the Ahlul Sunnah, they call the people of the Sunnah, who affirm names and attributes for Allah, they call them mushabbiha, anthropomorphists, those who liken the Creator to the creation, just because they affirm the attributes. Or they call them mujassima, those who affirm a bodily form, because affirming the attributes, in their view, necessitates giving a body to Allah. And bodies resemble each other. So this is their saying. So when you see a man, when you see someone speaking with that, saying so-and-so is a mushabbih, so-and-so likens Allah to the creation, so-and-so is a mujassim, so-and-so gives a body, then you should know that he, the one who's saying it, he is a Jahmi, or a Mu'tazili, from the Mu'tazila, or one of those who has studied with them from the rest of the sects, because they believe that affirming the attributes which are confirmed for Allah is tashbih and tajseem, is likening the Creator to the creation and giving a body to him. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ, quoting the saying of the author, rahimahullah, he's saying, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ تَكَلَّمْ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَاشْرَحْ لِي التَّوْحِيدِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ خَارِجِيٌّ مُؤْتَزِلِي. And if you hear a man saying, speak with Tawheed and explain Tawheed to me, then know that he is a Khariji, one of the Khawarij, a Mu'tazili, one of the Mu'tazila. And Shaykh al-Fawzan explains it. He said, because Tawheed, if you remember a few lessons ago, we had these five innovative principles of the Mu'tazila, one of which was what they call Tawheed, which is to deny Allah's attributes. In their, what they defined it as, denying Allah's attributes, they call that Tawheed. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because Tawheed is from the fundamentals of the Mu'tazila, and with them, it means to deny the attributes. So in their view, affirming the attributes is shirk, and denying the attributes is Tawheed. Opposite to what is the reality. He said, so do not think that he, meaning the author here, he intended Tawheed, which is to single out Allah with worship. Rather, what he meant by it is negation of the attributes, denying the attributes. When it says Tawheed here, when Imam al-Barbahari uses this word Tawheed, when you hear a person saying, explain Tawheed to me, it's not, it's meaning the Tawheed of those innovators, the Mu'tazila, which is to deny the attributes. So he said, do not think that he intended Tawheed, which is to single out Allah with all worship. Rather, what is meant with him is the negation of the attributes. Because affirming the attributes in their view, the view of the Mu'tazila, necessitates shirk. And therefore they say, the Qur'an came with shirk, because it affirms the names and attributes for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So this is the intent of the Shaykh, rahimahullah. His intent was Tawheed, the Tawheed, upon the view of the Mu'tazila. As for the Tawheed, which is upon the way of the Ahlul Sunnah, then that is to single out Allah with ibadah, with worship. The correct Tawheed, what is a correct Tawheed? That which the people of the Sunnah are upon with regard to Tawheed, is that it means to single out Allah with worship. So if you seek clarification of this Tawheed, which is to single out Allah with worship, and to negate any shirk, then there is no harm in this. Rather, this is something which is required and tremendous. Then he said, he's saying, أو يقول فلان مجبر أو يتكلم بالإجبار أو يتكلم بالعدل فأعلم أنه قدري. Or if you hear someone saying so and so is a mujbir, is upon jabr, meaning that is one who says that Allah compels the servants to do their deeds, forces them. Or he speaks, or they say that he speaks with ijbar, or who's a person who speaks with adl, justice. He speaks mentioning this term justice. Then know that he is a qadari, one of the qadariyya. Then Shaykh Fawzan explains this. He said, from the fundamentals of the Mu'tazila also is al-adl, is what they call justice, which is to deny pre-decree, to deny al-qadr. You remember, that's one of the five fundamentals of the Mu'tazila. They've got nice sounding titles, but how they define them is false and futile. So they have this title called al-adl, what they call justice. But what they mean by it is denying pre-decree. Because they say, if we were to affirm pre-decree, then we would be describing Allah with oppression, since He will then be punishing people for something which He Himself decreed for them. This is the saying of the Mu'tazila. They say, if we affirm pre-decree, that Allah has pre-decreed what's going to happen, then in the hereafter people are going to be punished. Those who are disobedient to Allah will be punished. So the Mu'tazila, they say, look, that would mean that Allah is punishing them for things that He has pre-decreed for them. So He's punishing them for something, for pre-decree. And that would be oppression. So that's why the Mu'tazila, they deny pre-decree. Say, we don't affirm it, we deny it. He said, Shaykh Fawzan said, so we say to them, Allah does not punish them for the pre-decree. Rather, He only punishes them for their actions and for their kufr, for their disbelief and for their shirk. He does not punish them for the fact that He has decreed things upon them. Rather, He only punishes them on account of their deeds and their shirk and their sin. So the recompense is for the deeds and not for the pre-decree. So Allah does not reward anyone just because He has decreed that he's going to be a believer until he has actually believed and acted in accordance with Iman. And He does not punish anyone merely for the fact that He has decreed committing sins upon him. Not until he has actually committed the sin and carried out the reason for punishment. So the reward and the punishment are connected and dependent upon the actions of the servants. They are not dependent upon the pre-decree. They are not connected to, tied to the pre-decree at all. So if you see someone saying so-and-so is a jabari, so-and-so is one of those who say that Allah forces the servants, then know that the one making the charge, he is actually a Mu'tazili, from the Mu'tazila. Because the Mu'tazila say, a person is free, he creates his own actions, and nothing is decreed upon him. And they say, he is the one who does this without it being decreed by Allah upon him at all. And they describe whoever says that the actions of the servants occur by Allah's pre-decree, they describe him as being a jabari. And then Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, he's saying, لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَسْمَاءَ مُحْدَثَةٌ أَحْدَثَهَا أَهْلُ الْبِدَعِ. Because these names are newly introduced. They were newly introduced by the people of innovations. Shaykh Fawzan said, they were newly introduced by the people of innovations from the Shia and the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila. As for the people of the Sunnah, then they do not enter into these matters except as necessitated by the book and the sunnah. So therefore they affirm the names and attributes for Allah. They affirm the pre-decree, Al-Qadr, and they truly believe in it, they have iman in it. And they do not say that it necessitates Allah's compelling the servants, or that it necessitates that he is oppressing, or that it necessitates oppression from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And they do not say that affirming the attributes is shirk and is tashbih, causing resemblance between the Creator and the creation. No one says this except for the people of innovations. والحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك